If I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, I would wager that if you only ever memorized one psalm, it would be Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a comforting psalm. It's a psalm that we have turned to for our entire lives. It's a psalm we often hear at funerals because it mentions walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a psalm that many who have comforted and counseled others have turned to talk about what a wonderful Savior that we have. We love its idyllic scenes and its pastoral pictures of being there in the green pastures as God cares for us and shepherds us and provides all that we need. We love that picture of being beside the still waters, of having our thirst satisfied, of walking in paths of righteousness, of protecting us in the presence of our enemies. It is a wonderful psalm. But if we simply stop there, recognizing merely the pastoral scenes, I think we're going to miss what is the truly wonderful message that God has preserved for us in the 23rd Psalm. And tonight I'd like for us to talk just a moment about that. Taking our understanding of Psalm 23 to the next level. Understanding and grasping what God is providing for us in this picture. Before we look at that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty and glorious Father, we are so thankful that You've allowed us to gather together here again this evening to worship and honor and glorify You. We pray that what we do here will lift You up and magnify You as it comforts us. Help us tonight as we open up Your holy scriptures, looking at the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that has meant so much to so many. We pray that we can look on it with new eyes and fresh eyes, that we can see the message that You have for us. As we see what happened in David's life and what this psalm meant for him, what it meant for Israel, and what it therefore means for us. Help us to bring You the glory and the honor, to recognize this promise that You've given to us, so that we will make our promises and our commitments to You and we will keep them. Father, we love You so much. We thank You for loving us first. Through Your Son, our Shepherd, we pray. Amen. By the way, something happened. I don't know if it was me and I forgot it or if something messed up out there in the vast space that is the internet, but my PowerPoint forgot to find its way to the AV department. So you're just going to have to pretend to see pictures of green pastures and various and sundry things on the screen behind me because it's not here. And so now we're going to see if we can make it through a sermon without the PowerPoint tonight. But that's okay, because really what we want to focus on is Psalm 23. So if you have your Bibles, please open there to Psalm 23. And let's just read through it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is tempting. And for a long time, I wanted to see Psalm 23 as merely one picture of following behind a shepherd out in the field in the green pasture lands. And I read the book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I preached a whole series based on that book. The problem was David Holder, a gospel preacher in Texas, demonstrated to me that preaching a sermon based on that book was not necessarily preaching a sermon based on this one. And the reality is this psalm has two pictures in it. There are two scenes that we find in Psalm 23. We do find the wonderful pastoral picture of our shepherd leading us in green pastures and beside still waters. But then we find in the latter half of the psalm that the scene has shifted. The scene has shifted from a sheep honoring his shepherd to a guest having been brought into a house and honoring his host. Seeing the picture of God's hospitality in his very own house. And as we look at this psalm, I want you to recognize these two distinct pictures. From verses 1 through 4, we have the sheep with his shepherd. And then in verses 5 and 6, we have a guest with his host. Interestingly, in the first part of the psalm begins as the sheep there among God's fold praises his shepherd to all the other sheep that are around him. And then in verse 4, he turns and begins to address his shepherd and praising his shepherd. And I really don't have much to add here in this. We've studied the psalm, most of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This sheep is praising his shepherd to the other sheep, saying, I'm not going to lack anything. Why am I not going to lack anything? Because I have a shepherd that makes me lie down in green pastures. My shepherd takes me to the green pastures where all that I need is provided for me. He leads me beside still waters. And we can talk about sheep and how dumb sheep are and how they will eat the grass down to the nub so that there are no green pastures. And how they'll drink anything unless the shepherd guides them to the pure and true sources that'll keep them healthy. Our shepherd will do that. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores my soul. He rejuvenates. He refreshes. He cares for us. He lifts us up when we have become cast down. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a wonderful statement. Why does he lead his sheep in paths of righteousness? For his name's sake. I don't have to worry that at some point God is going to quit sending me in paths of righteousness. I don't have to worry as a sheep that my shepherd is somehow going to start sending me in wicked, evil paths. Because he's not just doing this for my sake. He's doing it for the sake of his name. He's doing it for the sake of his reputation. And what an awful shepherd he would be if his sheep died in wicked paths. What an awful shepherd he would be if he sent his sheep in terrible fields that did not provide for them and all his sheep looked sickly and awful. No, for his name's sake, he leads us in paths of right and righteousness. His sheep can know that if he says, go over here, this is where it's going to be right. This is where it's going to be good. This is where we're going to have the greatest health. Why? Because it lifts up his name. For that purpose, for his name's sake, he leads me in paths of righteousness. And David, the sheep, is able to look at the other sheep around him and say, this is the shepherd I have. But then he turns to his shepherd in verse 4. And in verse 4, he praises his shepherd as he kind of continues this idea of being led in paths of righteousness. He turns to his shepherd and says, I know, even though sometimes these paths of righteousness take me through the valley of the shadow of death. And as I'm sure you've heard other preachers say, that's not actually talking about when we actually die. That's actually a picture of sheep being led through the valley as predators look from the hills and the cliffs and the mountains above down upon them. And what this sheep is saying to his shepherd is, when I'm doing that, when I'm following you through those valleys that are so dangerous and frightening, I'm not afraid. The reason I'm not afraid, shepherd, is because you are with me. And what a wonderful comfort you are. Not only are you with me, but you have your rod and your staff. And those comfort me. Even the rod of discipline and correction is a comfort to this sheep. Because he understands where it is taking him. And he praises his shepherd for the rod and the staff. I will fear no evil. What a wonderful picture. What a wonderful shepherd. But now there's a shift. Here is this sheep that is out in the pasture following his shepherd. But in verse 5, you prepare a table for me. And while that is so tempting to refer to that as a tabletop mesa out in the mountains that the shepherd is taking his sheep up to, I just think when we look at the two verses, 5 and 6 together, that's not the picture. We have now moved from the field to a house. We have now moved from a sheep with a shepherd to a guest with his host. The sheep has been brought into the house. And he says, you have prepared a table before me. Interestingly, when he makes this shift from one scene to the other, the guest continues to speak to his host first, and then he will go back to talking to the other guests. So we kind of have this reverse thing happening. The sheep begins by talking to other sheep, continues by talking to the shepherd. The guest continues by talking to the host and then starts talking to the other guests. But what does the guest say to his host? What does he praise him for? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies are looking on. My enemies don't want me to be filled. My enemies don't want me to be satisfied. They don't want me to have comfort. They don't want me taking refuge in your house. They want me simply out in the wilderness where they can attack. But I am a guest in your house. And the enemies look on and they can't come in. The picture is as if they're staring in through the windows, but they can't do anything. Because this guest is in the refuge of a wonderful host. And his host is protecting him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. A picture of hospitality. In Luke chapter 7, when Simon the Pharisee had invited Jesus into his home, and Jesus begins to rebuke him about lack of hospitality, you may remember that one of the things Jesus said is, I came into your house and you did not anoint my head with oil. This is an issue of hospitality. He said, I've come into your house. The enemies are out there. They don't want me taking refuge, but you're preparing a table before me. You are taking care of me. You are being a gracious host. You are anointing my head with oil. Not only that, my cup overflows. That's a picture of being a guest in someone's house that has plenty to drink. There's no thirst going on in this house. There's no worry that we're going to, I got my one cup and now I'm done and that's it. It's over. No, there's continued refreshment. This is actually hearkening back to that sheep out in the field being led by the still waters. When he becomes a guest in the house, he has an overflowing cup. And now in verse 6, he turns to his host and he turns to the other guests and says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, what's he telling the other guests? He says, why would I go anyplace else? Why would I trade the absolute number one best host in all the universe for someone else to try to take refuge there? That would be silly. That would be ridiculous. And so he turns and he brags to the other guests right here, right in this house. That is where I'm going to stay. And what a wonderful picture it is. And if we stop there, I think we gain all kinds of comfort and encouragement. And probably we could stop there and be just fine. But I think we would miss what is truly important in this psalm. A lot of folks argue about, well, when did David write this? I got to tell you, I am absolutely 100% convinced that this is not the writing of some young shepherd boy out in the field. But this is the writing of an experienced king who has been both in the field and in the house. In fact, I am convinced if it was not written at the time of, it was written based on the experiences of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Could you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we find a wonderful event in David's life. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and he went to Nathan and said, can I do that? And Nathan, speaking out of turn, said, sure, go do it. But then God comes to Nathan and says, whoa, hold on here. You should have talked to me about this first. I want to go ahead and read this entire chapter. This is 2 Samuel chapter 7. And as we're reading this chapter, I'd like to ask you if you can't pick out the things that are in this chapter that have Psalm 23 written all over them. Listen very carefully to what is said and see if you don't see Psalm 23 in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 1. Now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Excuse me. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go, tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words, in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Continuing in verse 18, we see King David's response. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard and with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house. And do as you have spoken, and your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. I know that was long, but did you see the connections? To me, it's just fantastic. First of all, we see in Psalm 23 the autobiography of David. Did you see what God said to David way back there in 2 Samuel chapter 7? As he talked about bringing him out of the pasture in verse 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from where? The pasture. From following behind the sheep. Where did David begin? He began out in the pasture. He began following the Lord as his shepherd. But what did God do with him? He put him in a house. And not just any house. He took him from the pasture and made him a prince. Do you know what kind of house he put him in? He put him in a palace. David's autobiography, From the Pasture to the Palace. Did you catch where David, where God said to David that he was going to discipline his son with the rod of men? David's response in Psalm 23, your rod is a comfort to me. Did you catch where God talked to David about the enemies that were around him, and yet God had given him rest in the presence of his enemies? And did you see how the whole thing ended? As David said, for you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. Is that not a mirror to David's final statement in Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Brothers and sisters, when we're reading Psalm 23, we are not reading just some idyllic scene. We are not reading just some pastoral picture. What we are reading is David's autobiography as he recounts how God took him from the pasture and brought him into a house. How God took him from the field and brought him into a palace. How God took him as just a little sheep and made him a prince. That's what Psalm 23 is talking about. But interestingly, it's not just David's autobiography, it's also Israel's biography. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, as we have this exchange between God through Nathan and David, God doesn't just talk about what he did for David, he also talks about what he did for Israel. Did you catch how he mentioned the shepherd? Yes, I get it that he talked about those judges who he had shepherd Israel. But isn't it interesting that he would use that particular phrase? These judges are shepherding Israel on his behalf. Why? Because he is the shepherd of Israel. And he took them from wandering around out there in the wilderness. Verse 7, in all the places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, where had they been? They had been wandering like a flock. And God had been shepherding them. But verse 10, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. He was going to prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies, and their enemies weren't going to be able to do anything about it. What a powerful, powerful picture. And did you notice in verse 23, 2 Samuel 7, 23, who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name? What was it that David had said? You guide me in paths of righteousness. Why? For your name's sake. Do you remember when God was going to wipe out Israel because of their rebellion, and Moses stopped him and said, Lord, if you do that, what will the people around say? Moses had to learn a lesson that what mattered most was not Moses and what he wanted, but the glory of God and his name. God did everything for Israel for his name's sake. God took Israel from the pasture to the palace. And Psalm 23 tells that story. When we read Psalm 23, we need to see David going from pasture to palace. We need to see Israel going from the field to the house. We need to see them going from sheep to guest. And I'll tell you why. Because when we look forward to us today, and we're trying to figure out what Psalm 23 means for us in our lives today, yes, we can learn from Psalm 23 that our shepherd cares for us. And who is our shepherd? In John chapter 10, we learn who our shepherd is. In John chapter 10, verse 11, John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus pronounces, I am the good shepherd. And then again in verse 14, just in case we didn't hear it the first time, he pronounces, I am the good shepherd. We have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd that makes us lie down in green pastures, that leads us beside still waters, that restores our soul. We have a good shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I think that's probably the greatest statement in the whole psalm. because it provides the confidence. I can read what my shepherd has provided here, and I can know that what it says is going to be good for me. Why? Because his name is at stake. I can tell you the very last thing that God through Jesus Christ wants is to give us direction and we follow it and end up in a state that everybody who are around us can say, look at that guy. He followed Jesus the shepherd and see what it did to him? No, of course not. When we follow Jesus as our shepherd, he wants the absolute best for us. I'll tell you what that means. That means we need to do what he says. Because when we don't follow his leading and we walk in our paths, it'll destroy us. It'll destroy our families. It'll destroy our homes. It'll destroy our relationships. It'll destroy our lives. But Jesus is a great shepherd who, for his name's sake, is leading us in paths of righteousness. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he cares for us. His rod is something we can take comfort in. His correction, even. Because it's guiding us in those paths of righteousness. But what the latter half of Psalm 23 tells us as it shifts the scene from pasture to palace is a wonderful thing. Because you see, in John chapter 14, Jesus explains to us that not only is he the good shepherd, in John chapter 14, and verse 6, Jesus declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Listen to what it says in that context, beginning in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Then if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Psalm 23 is not just about John 10. It's also about John 14. Our good shepherd who shepherds us while we're in the pastures, and our great host who went through death to prepare a place for us in the house of God. And despite what your translation says, this is talking about rooms in a house, not mansions on a hilltop. He is preparing a place for us in the house of God. What is he doing for us, brothers and sisters? He is taking us from the pasture and he is leading us to the palace. That is the promise of Psalm 23. He did it for David. He did it for Israel. And brothers and sisters, he is doing it for us. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you imagine the unending cup of still waters that we will have in that feast? As the Lord prepares a table for us in his house, in the presence of our enemies who wish that we could not be there, who long to bring accusation against us. But Jesus, by his very death, burial, and resurrection, has prepared a place for you in that house. Our shepherd is taking us from the pasture to the palace. And I think I speak for you when I say, I want to go. What an amazing picture. What an amazing picture. Look, I get it. We are in the pasture right now, and sometimes the pasture seems far more like a wilderness. But God is promising you something. A place in his palace. With him as host. Don't you want to be there? From pasture to palace. That's God's promise. If you're going to be using a songbook tonight, would you turn to that now, please? I believe the song was, I'm Not Ashamed. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. In our songbook, it's number 609. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. What a great song that goes along. I mean, think about what's the psalmist saying in Psalm 23. The shepherd, the sheep is saying, I'm not ashamed to have God as my shepherd. And the guest is saying, I'm not ashamed to have God as my host. And that's exactly what we can say. If we are unashamed to have Jesus as our shepherd, we will be unashamed when for all eternity He is our host and we are taking refuge in Him. So let me ask you, have you let Jesus become your shepherd? Is He guiding you? Are you walking in the paths that He is directing? Because for His name's sake, He's leading you in paths of righteousness. And here's what He said. He said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. If our shepherd says it, you can bank on it. It's good for you. Have you let Him become your shepherd? Have you let Him brand you and mark you as His own? Have you wandered away from His fold, thinking perhaps that you knew better ways than His paths? Come back to the fold, because He's leading us to a palace, and where you're going is not a palace. If we can help you in whatever way, to follow behind our great shepherd of whom we are not ashamed, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing?